Messing with me, Sean. That's good stuff. That's what it's about, you know? Really. Yep, that's what it's all about. Well, here we are. So, have you all had a good week? Did you get your exercise in? I have to be honest with you, I didn't get all my miles in. Because yesterday was like 11 below chill factor in Tip City. What? Where at? But anyways, well, that's what my friend told me on the phone. Because, see, I think he was just trying to get out of it, you know? But he was like, if you looked outside, it's windy out there this morning. That's just too windy. I said, yeah, I don't like to run in the wind, so we both came up with an idea to get out of it. So sometimes that happens, you know? And so, so you know what I did? I stayed home and I cooked. I cooked me up some spaghetti and some sauce. Man, Tanya Deitch here. She gave me this idea to put tomato paste in my sauce, and I've never done that before. Man, that's the ticket. That really thickens it up and really changes the texture of it, doesn't it? And I had that going, had me some praise music. I was just enjoying my day. You know, as you get older, you find out things about yourself, don't you? I like to cook. You like to cook, Bertie?
No.
No? You've already grown past that stage, haven't you? Well, she don't beat around the bush, does she? No. She likes to go out to eat, doesn't she, Paul? But I do. I've learned that I like that. And it's just something I enjoy doing. But see, we've been talking about what we've been talking about. Hope. Well, you guys keep saying that. Well, that's been a couple weeks ago. Thanksgiving was last week, right? Thanksgiving was last week. And then hope was the 2 weeks before. I was listening to us on the radio this morning. I had a radio in the back in my office, and we're on at 9 a.m. now. So at 9 a.m., 105.5 FM, WMVR in Sydney. So it was working this morning. I couldn't believe it. I thought, this is too cool. You know, we're on the radio. I just, you know. Okay, but, well, keys. Keys to the kingdom. Remember we started out with vision, and then we came up with hope, and then the idea was Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Remember, we're going to bring heaven to earth. On earth as it is in heaven. You and I are called to bring heaven to earth. And we do that through principles. And keys are nothing more than principles. Keys are nothing more than principles. And the kingdom of God is a whole nother set of principles. And Advent is the beginning of the preparation of the coming of the Lord, just like Sean's daughter read. It's the preparation of the coming of the Lord. It's preparing. And when he came, he brought the kingdom of God. He said, repent. His first message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. A whole nother economic system has come, is coming to earth. A whole nother economic system. And that's what the kingdom of God is. It's a whole nother way to live. And so, if we're going to live in the kingdom, and we're going to bring the kingdom of God into earth, we're going to have to understand these principles. So, vision is one. Hope. And then Thanksgiving last week. Remember we talked about Thanksgiving, enter into his gates with Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is gratitude language. It's, you know, you're grateful. It's grateful language. You want to continually be grateful and thankful for what God has done for you and what he's brought you through. And even in the bad times. Remember, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. You see, you don't thank him for the problems, but you thank him in the problems, because he's still good in the problems, right? He's still good in the problems and in the good times, in the bad times. He's still good. And we're to overcome all evil with what? Good. So when we're thankful in the negative, we're going to get through the negative, and we're going to get to the place God has taken us to. He just wants you to do what he says and do it his way, by his principles. See, that's what we wrestle against. We wrestle against principles that we've learned from our childhood and we've learned from the world system. In our thought life, we have principles established in us that we have to change. And that's why the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. You see, the enemy can only rule in those principles. But when we learn new principles and we understand his ways, now he no longer is ruling. We begin to take self-control, and we're ruling in our own life. God is ruling in our life. Am I making sense? That's what the scripture Sean read. For unto us a child has been born, unto us a son has been given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of his government and peace there will be no end. You see, now his government is ruling in you, and there'll be no end to it if you continue to grow and understand these principles of the kingdom. Am I making sense? So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about kingdom principles. Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Is it of the kingdom or to the kingdom? Of the kingdom, right? So, and the key, remember he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Bind means to lock, loose means to open. So he's given us keys to open up heaven. Remember, where's hope? Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, hope is laid up in heaven. So we can get into hope with the key of hope. We can get in there and we can bring heaven to earth. And just like today, we're going to talk about forgiveness is the key, is a key to the kingdom. And so if we're going to bring the kingdom and establish it here, we're going to have to understand forgiveness and the principle and how it works and how we can keep from being and allowing unforgiveness to get into our hearts. And we're going to talk about that today. So keys are principles. Okay. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 10. Matthew 24, verse 10 through 13. Actually, 10 through 14. The key that we're talking about today is the key of forgiveness. Forgiveness. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us principles. Lord, that you are helping us to apply these principles and walking them. And we are establishing your kingdom here on earth and in our homes and on our jobs and wherever we go, because the kingdom of God is within us. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Father, we thank you that we're growing and we're understanding these keys. Now, Father, continue to teach us today by your Holy Spirit. You said the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, we thank you for that. Now lead us and guide us into all truth by the power of your Holy Spirit today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay. Now, so what's the key we're talking about today? It's forgiveness. It's forgiveness. So, we, as believers, He's not talking to the world here. He's talking to Christians. He says, and then many will be offended. Speaking of the last days, the time we're in. That's the time we're in. The last days is the time period from when Jesus ascended into heaven until Jesus comes back. That whole time period. That's the last days. That's the time we're in. He says many will be offended. Okay? And this is in the church. People are offended. And then he says, and they will betray one another and hate one another. You see, we can't afford to be offended. See, when you're easily offended, that's because you can't forgive quickly. See, when you understand that forgiveness is the whole idea and concept of Christianity. Christianity is based on forgiveness. It's based on forgiveness. And that's why when we don't understand, when we are easily offended, we haven't got the revelation of the vast forgiveness God has extended to us. We've yet to receive that. Because when we're easily hurt by other people and what we think other people are saying, we have yet to understand the vast forgiveness that God has extended to us. And that's what we need to grow in, is understanding forgiveness. Because see, when you're offended, you're harboring something that someone has said or someone has done or someone hasn't maybe treated you right or noticed you or something. Or maybe you felt God was going to do something. Some people get offended with God. The Bible says people get offended with God. They think God was going to do this for them, and he didn't do that, so they got offended. Well, you see, we can't do that. We have to be willing and ready to forgive. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? On earth as it is in heaven. See, that's in that prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. What's a trespass? Trespass, when you come over the fence and you get in my stuff and you mess in my property and you're up in my stuff now, well, I have to forgive that. You see that? Well, you got over in my property. I had the fence line there. You shouldn't come over here. Well, see, that's what we're to forgive. See that? And that's what happens. If you have interaction with people, you're going to be offended. Are you with me? It's going to happen. So, here in this portion of Scripture, the false prophets are the ones who are in the cold love. They have a false version of Christianity. They are without the love that God intended. And they misrepresent Jesus Christ. You see, there's two types of folks here. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. One represents the kingdom of heaven. And that's the one who's walking in love. And one represents anger, sarcasm, and cynicism. Cynical. You ever seen a Christian, they confess to be a Christian, and they're cynical? They're always sarcastic. They're full of anger. They're always bringing up a problem what someone else is doing or pointing the finger. That's a false representation of what Christ intended. You ever saw that person in the mirror? I have. You see, as we grow in forgiveness, we understand that we can't harbor things that people, we need to forgive now. And that frees us. That's love. And that's what God is doing. He's developed. So we don't have cold love. We have warm love. We're quick to forgive. That's what we do when we understand this. Now, see, the idea is when you get hurt, you can always go to another church. You can't afford to get hurt and go to another church. Well, if you want to go, that's okay to go to another church. But don't go there because you got hurt. Right? It's okay to go, but make sure when you go there, you deal with your hurts before you go there. God will allow you to get hurt at times. Because you know what it does? It shows you where your pride is in your flesh. It shows you how much you need to grow when you get hurt easy. If you're always getting hurt, it means you're in the flesh too much. There's too much pride there. God is trying to show you something about you. Or you ever hear these guys, well, you know, I can't deal with this boss anymore. You know, I'm quitting. I'm getting out of here because I can't deal with this boss I have anymore. And they take a position in another state, and they sell their home, and they move their family, and they get a new job, and they end up on that job, and the boss he gets is no different than the one he just left. I've seen it. Because, folks, listen, we're gonna have to deal with it and learn to grow and understand how to deal with people offending us. Jesus said in Luke 17, it's impossible to be in this life and not experience offenses. Right? Remember, what's an offense? It's a trap orchestrated by the enemy. The word offense means scandalon, the Greek word. And it's a trap, a place on a trap where the bait is placed. So when somebody hurts you, it can be orchestrated by the devil. It's not the person. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's the enemy's using that person to hurt you to get you focused on you. See that? Because that's the trap. Because God wants you to love God and love others. But when you're focused on you, you can't love God and you can't love others because you're too focused on you. And that's the trap. Remember Proverbs 18 says, when someone is offended, it's harder to win them than a strong city. Strong cities are cities with walls around them. When you get hurt and offended, you put up walls. And that's the trap. Or a fence. You put that up. And now you only let in what you want to let in and what you want to let out of your life. You're in control. And it's all about you. Are we making sense? So that's why it's so important that we be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. When you don't deal with an offense, you will begin to betray people. You ever been in a prayer group where you're in a prayer, you know, you belong to this group, and you go there and you say, well, now, I want you to, you know, I see this in this person. And, you know, I see this spirit in them, and you need to pray. We need to pray about this because I see this in them. And they start to say these things that they see. That's betrayal. That's under the guise of prayer. That's flat out betrayal. Because you got hurt by that person. Now your hatred is beginning to get into your heart. And you're pouring out the problem of negativity in their life to others. That's betrayal. Come on now, are you listening to me this morning? Does this make sense? And that's what, folks, churches are full of this. And this is how things change and people get hurt. You see, because if you really love somebody, you'll pray for them. You don't need to go tell everybody about their problems and what you see in them. Huh? Am I making sense? That's big. That's huge. That's huge. That's really hatred in your heart. Folks, listen. We need to be people that we just don't always look like we're going to heaven. We need to people look like we're coming from heaven. Right? We've come from heaven. Right? I'm in Sydney, but I'm really from heaven. Right? I'm here this morning, but I've come from heaven this morning. All right? Are you with me? We're citizens of heaven. That's the way we need to be. And that's what we should bring to the meeting, to the gathering, wherever we go, all the time, not just sometime, all the time. That's the way we should be. Now think about this. Go with me to Mark real quick. Excuse me, Mark chapter 4. Oh, I got so much. I hope y'all got plenty of time this morning. Verse 26. And he said, Jesus, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now, that's talking about corn being planted and mature, growing into maturity. You see that? It yields a crop, and then first the blade, then the head, and then the full grain in the head, and then it ripens. You know what? We represent the harvest. That represents maturity. You see, we get the seed of the Word of God, and then it begins to grow in us. And there's a process. There must be growth. There must be growth. If you're not growing, something's wrong. Then you see, the harvest represents your destiny. It represents your increase, your prosperity. And that's what he's trying to do in you. He's trying to mature us. Am I making sense? He's trying to mature us. And that it's a process. And folks, that's why we need to grow up and get beyond this getting offended. Because when we get offended, we stop our growth. He doesn't want a bunch of little corn cobs in Chinese salad. You know those little ones? He doesn't want that. He wants the big corn, you know? We're from Ohio. We live in Ohio. Ohio's the corn state. If you really look, Ohio really does a lot of stuff with corn. Corn's everywhere in Ohio. We're the corn state. Yeah. We supply our nation with 5% of its corn. No, we don't. I just made that up. But Ohio's the corn state. I mean, we got some big corn. It's like, you're to take that corn and go whoop the enemy with it. Are you with me? You see that? That's the way we are. That's the way we should be. Am I making sense? I know it's a little different, but it's all right. Watch this. Self-pity is not the fruit of the Spirit. You know, sometimes I see so much self-pity. Folks, we got to get out of that. That, you know, we got to get beyond that. Self-pity, always focused on yourself. Oh, folks, that's most of the time that's from an offense. Self-pity. We can no longer accept being offended and having an offended spirit. And you can't come to church and get hurt. We got to get beyond that. If you get hurt in church, God is trying to show you something about you. Don't just go to the next church and keep hopping. Deal with it there. And when you deal with it, you're growing. You're getting ready for the harvest. See? You're growing. The sickle is being put to the corn. Are you with me? You're growing. And that's what God wants to do. That's what the church is, a place, an environment where we grow. We grow. And we don't allow little hurts and things to cause us to get attitudes. And God is doing something in us. Doesn't this make sense? Now think about this. God allows you to be offended because it shows where you are still in the flesh. You know, Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. For who? For others. Who's the body now? We're the body. He's going to allow you to be broken for other people. See, that's what it's for. When you get hurt, a lot of times God's trying to help you. He's trying to deal with those strongholds of your mind. And those attitudes that don't line up with his word, he's trying to deal with them. Not heal them. He wants to kill them. You see that? He wants to kill them, not heal them, to get them out of you so you can help someone else. Doesn't that make sense? And that's what he's doing in the church. He wants to get those out of you so you can be beneficial in the church. And that's why if you're broken, God's going to use that to benefit someone else in the body. Or maybe even at work, wherever you go. He's going to use that to help somebody else. Strongholds of your mind and the attitudes of your heart that are easily offended, God just does not want to heal them. He wants to kill them, right? I already said that. There's areas of our heart. Tell your neighbor, look at your neighbor right now and just say, you need to grow up. Oh, some of you have been waiting to say that to your neighbor. Oh. But you know, that's what he's doing. He's growing us up. Now think about this. There's areas of our heart that are prideful. And that's what he's doing. We think we deserve something. We think we deserve something. Now, success is not becoming like someone else or being someone else. Success is becoming like Jesus and who God created you to be. That's success. That's true success. Because listen, if you view success as becoming something else other than be like Christ, you are going to be disappointed. If we have a goal other than becoming like Jesus Christ, we can and will be offended by the lack of recognition that comes our way. By the lack of recognition that comes our way. God has calculated neglect into our lives to get us focused on Him. We need to stop living for the praise of men. Jesus told the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the religious folks, he says, you like the praises of men more than the praises of God. And that's what we got to get away from. No leader anywhere on earth can have all these people that he's overseeing and watching in his thought life and be sensitive to every single person wherever he goes. You know, sometimes people say, well, you didn't say, you forgot my name, and they act like they're hurt by it. You know, and you got all these people to keep up with. And they didn't even notice me. They didn't even pay any attention to me. You know, you got so much on your mind. You know, people get hurt by that. Do you see what I'm saying? Am I talking to the right people? See, that's what we need to get over. Well, you didn't recognize me, and you didn't call me, and, you know, no matter what you're leading, you're not going to be able to take care of all those people and meet every one of their little needs. You see that? I'm going somewhere with this. Be listening. If you always need someone to tell you that, you are okay. God will give that person amnesia to make sure he doesn't tell you you're okay. Are you with me? He will give that person amnesia to get you back focused on him. There goes my watch. Let me take it off. Stay there. All right. That's what happens. He will give them amnesia. Now think about this. Something inside us wants to gain our significance by what people say about us and how they recognize us. We need to get beyond that. We need to get beyond that. Listen to me, church. In the Old Testament, the temple, when you entered into the temple, the pillars in front of the temple, there was a word on each, one word on one side and one on the other. There was the word Boaz on one side, and on the other pillar was the word Jason. The word Boaz means he will establish. Jason means in him is strength. He will establish in him his strength. So when you entered the temple, It puts your focus on God. You see that? He will establish. In Him is strength. We are the temple in the New Testament now. We are the temple of God, right? So we got to quit depending on other people. It's important to be encouraged. And I want to be encouraging. I want to be a person that builds people. But we can't get dependent on others building us up all the time. We have to be established by what God says to us and what God says about us. Am I making sense? And that builds strength in you. And when you are established that way, it doesn't matter what people say about you and what they're doing. You're going to continue to go on and stay fixed on the plan. You see that? This is significant. And you're not going to get hurt real easy. You're not going to be getting your hurt feelings hurt all the time because you're too busy being established in Him. If we are looking for people to do it, and not God, we are going to be looking and lost for a long time. You will either grow by the offense or you will go by the offense. You see that? People are always learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You see, that's people who go and they get hurt and they keep going. They're always learning, but they never come into the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? The truth is Jesus. The character of Christ is in you. That's the truth. When you're after the truth and you were allowing that character of Christ to be developed in you, that's the truth. That's someone who's not always learning. And that's someone who's coming to the knowledge of the truth. And the Bible says this is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth, not keep going and getting hurt. And you see this. Now think about this. An imperfect world is job security for an intercessor. And a church that's imperfect, hey, right there it is, right? You got plenty of work for the intercessors. Now think about this. God wants you to become more humble than you planned. God wants you to become more humble than you planned. Don't pray for humility. Don't pray that God will make you humble. Please don't pray that. Because see, when you pray that God will make you humble, He does exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And so now, you see, you've asked for it. See, that's why we want to be humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He will exalt you, right? He will exalt you. You see, I remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul talks about, going back to this recognition, he talks about this brother that passed all these tests and trials and got victory, and he was approved, the Bible says. And then he kept talking about this brother. I think it's three times he talked about it. Never mentions his name. In 2 Corinthians 8, his name's never mentioned. It's like, who's this brother? You know, I want to be like this brother. Well, the brother never got his name mentioned in the Bible. I call people brother a lot of times when I forget their name. Hey, brother, if I do that with you, I probably forgot your name. But Paul forgot this guy's name. That's what I think. And so look, he never even got mentioned in the Bible. Mick, you think he got offended? No, because he kept passing the test. You see that? He kept passing the test and kept going on. He was an example, but we don't even know his name. Oh, boy, I liked it. The Bible. Oh, the Bible. Oh, my goodness. Man, there's so much truth in the Word of God, isn't there? Man, if you get in there, you're going to get something. Oh, boy, it helps me. Oh, I like it. Oh, it's good stuff. Nom, 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 nom. I'm eating good this morning. Maybe we shouldn't put that on the radio, Sandy. Nebuchadnezzar, he was all puffed up, and you know, he was this mighty man, and Daniel kept saying that you need to calm down, you know, you need to just go to God with this. And Nebuchadnezzar, oh no, he kept sharing his accolades and how great he was, and God humbled him. Judgment of God came down on Nebuchadnezzar. For 7 years he ate straw like an ox. His hair grew and grew and grew. His fingernails grew out like an eagle's talons, like an animal. And at the end of that 7 years, it says, God exalts the lowly over the kingdom. He got a revelation of of being humble. God, what happens? Pride comes before the fall. See that? Pride comes before the fall. So that's why we need to humble ourselves, right? And if we'll humble ourselves, you see, humility is a way that's going to help you with forgiving people. You see that? When you're humble, you're going to be quick to forgive. You're going to be quick to forgive. Correction is another thing we don't like. We don't like correction. Correction is not rejection. We don't like correction. Every time I'm corrected, I'm brought out of something that was wrong and into something that is right. I need to be corrected. I'll call Steve and ask him sometimes, you know, what could have I changed, or did I say anything that this and that? And last night I was preaching, and Paula came up and corrected me after the service. Yeah, it's okay. Because I said the word Nathan instead of Nahum. You know, I said, thank you. I need to hear that. I didn't want to come here today and say Nathan again, because I'm going to tell you about Nahum. Right? We need to be corrected. I remember, you know, we don't like to be corrected because of the history that comes with correcting. You know, I remember I was at my job where I used to work, and there was an engineer, my supervisor, and these Germans flew in, and they were going to have this conference, and he was to lead this presentation. Well, he came from the bathroom into my area, and then he was going right into the conference room. Well, he had something hanging on his nose. He needed to, you know how you ever talk to somebody and you just gag? It was one of those times. Well, I'm sitting there about to gag, but I just didn't want to tell him. I wanted to, just because I didn't, you know, there were some things I didn't like about him. I just wanted him to go in there and be embarrassed. So I wasn't going to tell him. I just, inside, I went, oh, don't tell him. Just let him go in there and just be embarrassed. But I couldn't. And then I didn't want to tell him because, well, if I tell him, he's going to start make it harder on me. You know what I mean? I was afraid. Am I making sense? And so I told him anyways. And, you know, he went right back in and fixed it up. And then he went in and did it. But you see, we are afraid at times to correct people when really they need it. You know, if you see something on me, tell me. Right? Is this making sense? I went to see my mom several months ago, and my mom always puts a lot of lipstick on, and she kisses me on the cheek. So when I got there, she kissed me on the cheek, you know, and I had dinner with her, and I'm walking around, you know, at the Bethany Village where she lives, and you know, I'm going in the community center and all over for a couple hours. And I go to the restroom before I leave. I go in, and there's these big red lips. And I'm thinking, all these people, nobody said anything? And then, and this is what really gets me. Then now I'm at my family gathering at Thanksgiving, this past Thanksgiving, last week, 2 weeks ago. Same thing. My mom, oh, Freddy boy. She calls me Freddy boy. And she kisses me on the cheek. And, you know, I don't think about it. And so there I am. Everybody's coming in. I'm greeting everybody. And I go to the restroom. There it is. I said, why can't you guys tell me? Huh? Do what? Communion? Oh. Bob says communion. He's correcting me. Well, we're not near ready yet. Hold on here. We got to get this. All right. When Peter walked on the water, what happened? He was the only one out of the 12 that stepped out and walked on the water. Jesus rebuked him. Jesus rebuked him. He says, "Why did you doubt?" Now get a hold of this. Peter was the only one that was doing anything, but yet God rebuked him. You know why? Because he knew the potential, and he knew all that Peter could accomplish in this life if he would just listen to the Lord. You see that? God loves you, and he will rebuke you because he knows all the potential you have and the greatness you have in you. Are you with me? Hebrews 12:6 says that God, he rebukes those whom he loves. He rebukes us. Folks, he's going to rebuke you if you're doing something. Even if you're doing something. You see that? And correction comes. That's why we need to be corrected. That's an important point. Now, in Matthew 11, John the Baptist was all depressed and he was in prison. And he was wondering why he's in prison. In John or Matthew 11, 3 through 6. And then he says to Jesus, here's what happens. Through expectation, we get offended. We expect something to be a one way and it ends up being another and we get offended. John the Baptist got offended because he was saying that Jesus was going to come with a winnowing fork and come with all this wrath to bring to the people. He was shouting and praying. But you see what? Watch this. But now Jesus said, "Go tell John that the lame are being healed, the blind are seeing, and they're being healed." And this is what he said. "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Because you see, John the Baptist thought Jesus was going to bring all this wrath and come with this winnowing and come. He had this wrong view of what Jesus really was. And Jesus brought so much love, it actually offended John the Baptist. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you when you're not offended because of him." Matthew 11, verse 6. Check me out. Did you get that? That's rich. That's revelation right there. You need to grab that one. Write it down. Now, 2 Kings, we're going to talk about Nahum, and we're going to take communion. Nahum was a General Schwarzkopf, a Colin Powell. And he got leprosy. Ended up with leprosy. And was wondering how he was going to, in 2 Kings chapter 5, you find this story. He wondered how he's going to get this healing of this leprosy. Well, this little girl comes in to his life. She tells him, "You need to go see a prophet. You need to go see the prophet Elijah." Well, he says to himself, and he says, well, in his heart, he says, that's humility for a little girl to tell this high ruler, this general, that he needs to go see a prophet. So he listened to the little girl, and he went. He got in his chariot and his army, and they went. And he went to Elijah's door, knocks on the door, and Elijah's in there, probably eating bonbons, sitting on the couch, taking a break, and tells his servant to answer the door. So his servant goes to the door, and there's the general, Schwarzkopf, knocking on the door. Elijah doesn't even answer the door, tells his servant. His servant, and he says, "Oh, just tell him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and he'll be healed of his leprosy." Tells his servant to tell that to the general. So he tells it to the general, and so Nahum gets mad. He gets offended. He goes, "I thought I would come here and the man of God would wave his hand over me and I would be healed of this leprosy." He said, "I thought it would be this way." You see, that's the problem. He thought it was going to be this way. He said, "Why would I go to the Jordan, the dirtiest river in the country? Why would I go to the dirtiest river, and you want me to go to the dirtiest river? Why couldn't I go to this one and this one?" He came up with all these other ways to go. He ended up going and dipping in the Jordan River and was healed. And the Bible says his skin came out like a baby's, like a child's. You see, God organized that and caused him to, he started out humble and even getting him offended because he was childish in his heart. And God had a whole lot more for him to do ahead of him. You see that? That's significant. That's significant. Nahum was humble, but he still was offended because of his expectation. And that's what happens. We get offended because we expect something and it doesn't work out the way we thought it was going to. But God is trying to show us something. Oh, am I making sense? This is important, folks. In marriage, sometimes in marriage you're going to get offended. That other one's the opposite sex, right? That's why they call them opposite. You got two opposites. You're going to have two different views of things at times, right? So we got, that's a perfect ground to be offended. Don't take an offense. Be quick to forgive. Pray for that person. Love that person. Are you with me? Look for the good in that person. Strengthen that person. Don't we need this? Before we come to communion, I know what time it is. You don't need to tell me. Before we come to communion, you know what? We're going to pray. Because, folks, I just really want our hearts. We're getting ready to go in the new year. We are moving. And God is moving. And He wants to do something in us. Right now, I want you to stand. If you've been offended, or you may be dealing with a little offense, or maybe a major offense, I want you to stand, and we're going to pray right now that the Holy Spirit will do a work in our hearts. Those who are helping with communion, you can come forward, and just come on, come forward, and we're going to still pray at our seats while you're standing there. Just we're all going to pray right now, just right now. Father God, we just thank You. We thank You that You are doing a work by Your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your presence here today. More of You, Jesus. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would just move throughout these aisles and throughout this church and throughout the hearts of Your people. And Lord, reveal any of those offenses to us where we are being stubborn, where we are being easily hurt, and the pride that You're trying to deal with, reveal that to us, Lord. And Lord, right now we ask for forgiveness. Forgive us, Father. Now, Lord, help us to forgive those who are offending us or who may have deeply offended us. Help us right now in the theater of our mind to forgive them. Lord, let us see ourselves forgiving them and letting it go, so we can walk in the freedom You have for us, and so that we can become that corn, that harvest, that increase that You're increasing in our life, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Prepare our hearts now, Lord, to receive communion. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. On the night Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread. He said, "This is My body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." I like that. He said, "This is My body broken for you." We're the body of Christ. There are times where we are going to be broken in our life. It's for someone else. See, when you stay connected to the body, you get wisdom and understanding. And man, you can keep growing. And you can become what God created you to be. Isn't this exciting? I'm excited. We're advancing the kingdom. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant. Take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me. The night he was betrayed. The word betrayed means hated. They hated him. People are going to hate us. But we can still celebrate. That's what this is. This is the celebration supper. We can still celebrate. When you understand. Isn't this exciting? Now you come as the Holy Spirit leads you. We got Bob and Peggy over here on the right. We believe in anointing with oil and confession and healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. You come as the Holy Spirit leads you. And Steve and I will be on the other left here. So you come as the Holy Spirit leads you.